Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and I have a very special show for you today. With me in the studio are four fabulous ladies who are involved with the Possible Woman Conference coming up this April that Linda Wind and a number of really wonderful women in leadership are putting on. And it's going to be fantastic. And I just wanted a preview, so I invited a selection of women who are going to be speaking and involved in the programming at this event. And we're going to have a great conversation about women's leadership and the Possible Woman Conference. So Dorothea Bazzacolotta-Volpe is a specialist in social media and branding. She's also an avid skateboarder and tweets to relax. I love that, and I can't wait to hear more about it. So, Dorothea, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, tell me a bit more about what you do professionally. I kind of made a joke of it, but you are a high-level branding strategist. You develop branding strategies for a number of prominent Fortune 500 companies. You've got a great client list. How'd you get started in all of this? How did you get to the position that you are presently with your career?
Well, actually, I started out as a gamer with a love of technology and was contributing to BBS boards, eventually they're now called blogs and communities. And over time, in working in the advertising industry, I had the opportunity to see where brands may have had some challenges or hurdles when it came to getting closer to their clients. And I like to refer to their clients as audiences, and I use audiences with purpose, because as brands have evolved, they've realized it's no longer about, you know, pushing out information and hoping that people will purchase their product, their service, or solution. It's really about engaging them, educating them, and entertaining them. And lo and behold, that was an area where I felt that I had something to say. I had something to give to the conversation. And I've been very fortunate in being able to work with, some really great brands, Intercontinental Hotels Group, Coca-Cola, Turner, Ryan Seacrest Productions, Chrysler. And in each instance, no two brands are the same, but sometimes they have different audiences that need messaging articulated in different ways and over different modalities. It doesn't just stop with an advertisement that is purchased online as an ad or a Facebook advertisement. It continues the conversation in communities, in the mobile environment. And all of these various ecosystems actually speak to one another when it comes to social media marketing and social media strategy.
So these companies that you work with are looking to optimize their presence in this space. How do you help them measure the results of what you implement?
Yeah, it's interesting. I get asked a lot about ROI, which in the case of social media marketing is still, you know, there are plenty of graphs, diagrams, and Excel spreadsheets that I could show you that would bore you witless. But what I'll tell most companies is really to do something that's very inexpensive at first. I'm a bit of a pragmatist. Trying and testing out specific modalities. Facebook may not be the right platform for your brand, but you may have a better presence on a place like Pinterest or within LinkedIn or your own specific community. And then also, it's not really about ROI, it's about ROA, which is return on attention. You know, having people keep your brand top of mind. I read an article, and I use this a lot in my personal branding courses, where they were talking about the average North American sees about 7,000 brands per day in just the average 24-hour span. And yet they tend to retain, you know, less than 20 of them. We also tend to spend 12 to 14% more for a brand that we know has some, for lack of a better term, you know, has some loyalty for us, you know, that we know we have confidence in the brand. We'll spend more money purchasing, you know, a product rather than brand X, a store-bought brand, just simply because of the fact that we know and we can trust that brand. So in answer to your question, yes, there is return on investment, and that can be easily measured, but it depends upon not only the program, but also how it's launched and how it's supported by that organization.
So do you think that branding has become even more important today in the world of social media, the internet. I mean, some might think, well, the information playing field has been leveled, right? As a consumer, I can get access to any information out there. So what role does the brand play in swaying the customer to make that choice, especially if it's more expensive?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And what I'll say is now more than ever, people are becoming brands, you know, and brands themselves are learning how to speak to their constituents, their audiences in a new, more engaging way. Customer service doesn't start at the point of sale terminal. It actually starts at the point where somebody's actually researching a specific product or service or solution. And really, not only how do you touch them, but why and over what modality, right? So in answer to your questions, it's more important now than it ever was before. You have to empower people to want to engage with your brand. You have to empower people to walk up to the cash register and write that check or use their credit card or their mobile wallet. And after the sale, what are you doing to communicate back to them, not only your gratitude, but also how are they telling their communities, their groups that they're part of, about your brand and their positive experience?
It's fascinating. So is this some of the stuff you're going to be talking about at the conference with some of the women?
Actually, yes.
That's wonderful. I want to turn over here to Martha Fourlines, and we're going to come back to you, Dorothea, but thanks so much for sharing all of that.
Yeah, no worries.
Martha Fourlines, am I pronouncing your last name right?
You got it.
Is a successful leadership consultant, coach, author, and speaker, and you're also the president of Belief Systems Institute. Tell us about the Institute and a little more about what you do.
Okay. The first part of the belief system in the name is a critical element of how employees show up every day at work. They come to work with certain beliefs that they've carried with them probably their whole lifetime. And some of those beliefs are beneficial to them and help them be motivated, engaged, and do a really good job. Some of those beliefs are really detrimental to them at work. So in the consulting practice, what we do is really try to help the employees self-identify things that get in their way. And they actually share this information with their manager. So it gives the manager really a motivational profile. It's like a thumbprint for the employee of what really jazzes them up at work and what really turns them off.
So you work with organizations to help them optimize their people performance based on looking at kind of that whole person,
correct,
if you will.
Absolutely.
Now, how did you get into that line of work, Martha? That's quite an expertise to have developed.
Oh, thank you. I spent 28 years inside of corporate as an executive, the last 15 years. In human resources, also managed customer service and an in-house artistic group at one point, and really learned a lot about people, learned about behavior, and I was a psych major in college, didn't go the clinical route, so human resources seemed like the best way to apply that. So I left in 2006 and took a little bit of time to decide what it was that I wanted to do next.
Good
and
for you.
Yeah, exactly. So playing in the space that I'm in was like my favorite part of the bigger job that I had. But I wanted to focus, have part of the practice focus on women. And that's where I do a lot of work now in terms of speaking. I co-authored a book called Inspiring Women, Becoming Courageous, Wise Leaders, which was also an effort to do that.
So how is women's leadership different than leadership in general? No, I hear a lot about us making the distinction, and
right,
there clearly is one. What are
right,
some of the areas that you've observed that are different or need to be developed differently
right,
in
right,
order to achieve a woman leader's goals?
Now, I get that question quite a bit. Women will ask me, well, what can I do to differentiate myself from men? And this is the differentiator for anybody sitting at this table knows it's really about achieving results. So if you deliver on results and do what you say you're going to do and keep your promises, that's going to put you head over heels above the mediocre performers, regardless of the gender. However, women lead differently than men, and this is an overgeneralization, so if I offend anybody sitting at this table, then I apologize for that. But women do lead differently. They really lead from a compassionate heart standpoint, really wonderful communicators, so communication is very important. Collaboration is another big element. And what I have found in working with women since 2006 is that all that is well and good is getting people to recognize their strengths, but women tend to have more confidence and courage issues in the workplace. And it's too easy of an excuse to say, well, I work in a male-dominated industry. So women do need help in understanding that.
So, I mean, because it can be intimidating if you feel like there are less women colleagues around you.
Correct.
And I can see how that, you know, it kind of chips away at your courage, confidence, armor. Maybe not in a noticeable way, but
right.
It might prevent you from maybe stepping up at a meeting or saying the unpopular point of view,
correct.
But very important point of view.
Correct.
How do you help women develop that confidence and courage muscle within them so that it doesn't feel so scary?
That's such a great question. Well, the number one rule is know thyself. Self-mastery is really the critical element to self-confidence, so that if you know what your strengths are, you know what your limitations are, then you can really optimize those strengths. And that's something that I get into, you know, in my coaching practice. So helping them to understand that, and for people to understand that who you are is more important, and knowing who you are is more important than what you achieve, what your accomplishments are. I left the corporate world and my whole identity seemed to be wrapped up in what I did professionally.
Right, the title on the business card.
Correct. And I found myself really kind of bobbling around in the ocean, it felt like, for a while to understand, well, that isn't me. That was a part of me, but that's not me. So pushing that whole getting to know yourself a step further is accepting yourself. Probably the greatest, most developed level of confidence is accepting those strengths and accepting those limitations. And if you're a leader going into work every day and you are not accepting of yourself, well, guess what happens? You're not accepting of those people on your team. It's a form of projection that is detrimental to you as a leader.
Right. If the foundation isn't strong, there's only so high you can build up from there.
That's right.
Fascinating. Well, it sounds like a terrific book.
Thank you.
I want to bring Maria into our conversation now. Maria Sutej.
Perfect. You pronounced it
Maria
correctly.
Maria Sutej, Regional Vice President in Sales at Avon Products. Maria, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about your Avon story.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here. First of all, thank you for having me, and it's wonderful once again to be affiliated with Possible Woman and this fantastic conference that is coming. But yes, I've been with Avon for 29 years now. Hard to believe it's been that long. And it's just been a great journey. I joined Avon right out of college. And, you know, it's a company, it's 126 years old, household name. You talk about branding, everybody knows Avon. But I have worked, you know, through the ranks in my career with Avon Products and now run the Eastern region, the Eastern Sales Organization. But the thing that I love about working with Avon is that our tagline, as you know, is the company for women, which is perfectly aligned with Possible Woman. And throughout my 29 years, I have, you know, enjoyed a fabulous career where I really have been able to see women utilize Avon to project themselves, not only their self-confidence, as you said, but to change their lives financially. And it just gets better and better through the years with Avon. You know, many women And men alike. And we're seeing more and more men join Avon now, have lost their corporate jobs with all of the downsizing, and Avon offers an opportunity for these individuals to come in and earn a significant income, not only through selling the products that everybody's familiar with, but through developing others. And I'm just seeing such a growth in that element of our business with couples coming into the business. It's terrific to work with a brand that you believe in and a company that believes in people. It's been a great ride.
And Avon is a sponsor of the Possible Woman Conference. And wonderful that it provides that whole spectrum of career advancement. I mean, you obviously came in on kind of the ground floor and have managed to work your way to a very high ranking position now. And you've also become very involved in the community along with building your career with Avon, and were recently named one of Georgia's 100 most powerful and influential women. So clearly Avon provided you with a lot of leadership development as you were involved in the organization. Talk about some of the skills that Avon helps women leaders develop through their career.
Yeah, I just want to go back to a comment that was made earlier, and that was about leadership for women versus leadership in general. I was so delighted to hear you say that it's all about results. That has always been what I have found as well. So, you know, even when you look inside, whether it's Avon as a corporate environment or any of the other companies, that, you know, the Fortune 500 companies, you do see, the one thing that I find with women is a lack of confidence that doesn't necessarily exist among the male colleagues. But working with a company like Avon, I think the thing that I have loved the most about my career is as I have progressed, I have had people, male and female alike, who've reached out a hand to mentor me, help me, give me the coaching and feedback that I needed to develop my own career. And it provides the opportunity to reach out and lift others up as well. So in terms of leadership skills, I think one of the things that I have learned the most in my time with Avon is coaching, developing, feedback, and the importance of having people around you who will give you honest feedback and that you can really share a brainstorming session with to strategize what the future holds and whatever the corporate needs are to move forward.
It's wonderful to have an organization that you can really grow with like that and build a long-term career. What are some of the reasons why Avon found it so important to be involved in Possible Woman and developing future women leaders and enabling those who might not have access to some of the educational opportunities? I mean, Possible Woman Foundation provides scholarships to a lot of underprivileged women who cannot necessarily engage in the full educational expense, but still have big dreams and aspire to do great things.
Absolutely. Great question. And I'll say there's really three things that I want to mention, and you had asked about this earlier. Avon being the company for women, we have two causes that are very important to us. One is the breast cancer cause, and we work locally here with the Winship Cancer Institute, with Emory, and all across the country to raise money through our walks, to provide outreach in the medically underserved communities, and also for research grants to do whatever we can to eradicate breast cancer from the future. The other cause that we're very serious about is domestic violence, because many women from all different socioeconomic levels find themselves in those positions. And, you know, when I was in the field as a district sales manager, I could see that firsthand with many of our representatives who Avon would be the way that they could earn their way out of an abusive situation. So we're very serious about our commitment to that. But in terms of aligning with Possible Woman, I think what you'll find that is consistent with Avon is that we seek out opportunities to provide resources to women, whether it's developmental resources, coaching, development, talent, and also in the communities, whether it's breast cancer awareness or domestic violence. You know, there's a lot of alignment. You mentioned the scholarships, very important. Avon, too, provides scholarship opportunities for our associates to be able to send to apply for scholarships and provide those. And so I think as we look at the Possible Woman and what Linda's vision is of this conference, it is all about bringing talent together to feed one another's spirit and intellect and also to provide opportunities for, I always see a lot of young women at these conferences, and they have bright eyes, and they're excited about their future, and they're excited about their career, and they come and they're just like sponges soaking up the wisdom of individuals like you see on many of the panels and speakers, and it gives them a chance to network with people who have like ideals, and like motivation and like goals and dreams. So this conference that Possible Woman promotes, I would encourage everyone to attend. It's a great conference, whether you are an experienced individual who's been in corporate America and just enjoys being surrounded by powerful women. It's also a great conference for young women who are just starting their careers to be able to learn from some of the speakers and panels.
That's excellent. Yes, and we should mention that the Imagine Possible Woman 2012 conference is April 26th at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis, and you can buy tickets and find out more information at windenterprises.com or possiblewoman.com. And next, I want to bring into the conversation Dr. Marilyn Carroll, who is the founder and CEO of KSAP 5i, a career management education company. Marilyn, welcome. Did I do that right?
You did it right. Thank you.
Excellent. So you have a PhD in management and organization with a leadership specialization. Tell us a little bit about why leadership was so important for you to pursue.
Elizabeth and panel, leadership was very important to me because coming up through the ranks of various organizations, I noticed a lack of management, I would say, direction from various individuals that were in management. And as a manager, I wanted to do my best in managing my team. It wasn't necessary that I receive a PhD in order to manage, but I wanted to know every inch of the foundational aspects of managing individuals. So going on and getting a PhD helped me to understand from the beginnings of time, Socrates, Aristotle, all of them who were great leaders, down to the beginning, down to now in the 21st century, and what it takes to be an effective leader in our corporate America or as entrepreneurs.
Well, I mean, the leaders are the ones that make everything happen, right? So we can all sit around and whine and complain about how things aren't perfect yet, but it's the ones in charge that actually get stuff done. So I've always felt like if you weren't, you know, in a position where you could influence and make things happen, then you weren't going to actually be able to impact the kind of change that you saw possible. Now, you had before you started your own business, Marilyn, a long career in the corporate America. What were some of the things that you observed about women leaders and saw that there were areas or opportunities for growth there?
A lot of things have been mentioned already around the table, from branding to knowing yourself, all the way down to producing results. And a lot of times I saw in corporate America where we would make excuses sometimes for not achieving the results that we should have achieved. Foundational to that was not knowing yourself, not knowing who you are and what you are and how you can bring results to the bottom line at whatever group you happen to be in. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the entry-level positions on the front line of management or in the C-suite, you have a significant difference that you can make by first, but only you can make that difference, by knowing yourself. And so in corporate America, I understood that no matter what was thrown at me, I had to make a difference. I had to show results. And don't make excuses, but actually implement. There's no time to make excuses. As a matter of fact, the time that I saw individuals making excuses was valuable time that they lost in getting to where they wanted to go.
Now, you are also an author. You've written 3 books and are in the process of completing an additional book. I want to ask about this one first, Professional Freedom, Economic Empowerment 101, because it sounds like that's a lot of what you do, is help people in their career to reach the state of economic empowerment where they've got the freedom, but also the success. It's hard to get that ideal mix. How did you find the winning recipe?
Doing my PhD, my research topic was around the behaviors of leaders and the impact they had on followers. And I noticed throughout my research, a continuous pattern happening. One, the knowledge of self. Two, branding of who you are. Three, the political capital one has. See, social networking and the ability to network while you're working every day. Social network is a phenomenon that we talk about outside of corporate America, but it's extremely important as well when you're inside corporate America. And a lot of times we just know we come to work and we pull up to a desk and we work that office, but we don't work the community and the surrounding areas that really impact the where we go into an organization. For example, I believe that many of the women around the table did more than just work their job in order to achieve success. They had to do some community work as well as some branding throughout outside of the organization in order for people inside the organization to really know who they were. And my book on professional freedom, I learned through that research that there were 8 to 12 components necessary for a person to achieve professional freedom. So I wrote about that so that if you are in a situation like a lot of the situations we have today where individuals may be outplaced or outsourced, immediately you can come to the floor or task knowing, A, I know this was coming up. B, here's my plan for getting to the next particular job or selection in my career that I want to go to without the fear of saying, like I see a lot of people now in their mid-30s to late 40s, I don't know what I'm going to do because I was so tied to that organization that I don't know what my next steps are. Well, with professional freedom, we teach people how to go through their process before they get to that point and knowing exactly what they're going to do next. They have various opportunities and they see it coming before it happens to them.
And I get the same sense that the women around the table, and even just from looking at these abbreviated bios I've seen, I know you're all heavily involved in the community. I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of what role that community involvement has played in building a solid career and making you like the holistic kind of leader that we talked about earlier, Martha. Community involvement.
Yes. Let me speak first to some women's groups that I've been affiliated with here in Atlanta. I'll kind of give a shout out to the Women in Technology Group and the Healthcare Business Women's Association, where I've been involved as a mentor to other women at various stages of their career. And they also are involved in development programs for women that I've also again, volunteered my time to do, and it's very, very fulfilling. I stay in touch with most of the people that have been through the programs I've been involved in. But on a local level, speaking of advocacy for women and for children, I'm a court-appointed special advocate in the judicial district that I live in, which is the Appalachian Judicial District, where you're really the voice for the child. In court, these are children that have been removed from their home or in the custody of DFACs. But it's not just the children. You're touching the mamas and working with the mamas in the community as well. So those are three programs that I've devoted a lot of time to. But there's so many other opportunities to network through Chamber of Commerce's, which I've been involved in the past, as well as TAG, for example, the Technology Association of Georgia. So we have interviewed a number of the women that we interviewed for the book as part of our research, and Debbie Story, who's with AT&T, a high-level executive, said this in the interview with her, is that networking across the business and out of your functional zone is so critical to your long-term success with a company. Like Maria, staying with Avon as long as she did, she didn't do that staying in the Southeast and managing, you know, the eastern part of the United States. She networked all the way across. And these are things that a lot of the women that we get to touch at the Possible Women event in a few weeks, we have to remind them of these things.
Dorotea, what role have women mentors or other women leaders that you've had exposure to or maybe even friendships with over the years of your career? What role has that played in helping you kind of craft your vision for where you wanted to end up and keep going?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I will say that at the time that I got involved in social media, there were not a lot of female mentors. I was very fortunate in to actually attend enough events and approach them. I was not shy. I walked right up to one in particular who is part of Possible Woman, who asked me to speak on her panel, Toby Bloomberg, and explained to her how one of the talks that she gave was, to me, very touching and very riveting, and I applied it to my own life. And over time, we've had sort of a mentor-mentee friendship. And, you know, shoe on the other foot, she was kind enough to start a group called Atlanta Social Media Women, where they're a group of women. It's just specifically for women professionals in the Atlanta area that their specialty is social media and social media marketing. And we have all shared information, best practices. And I find that having somebody who stepped up to the plate to create that kind of community was really meaningful. But throughout my, you know, lifetime, most of the people that I've had as mentors, both male and female, have been either relatives or somebody that I approached on my own. I've always found that if there's, I've created for myself in my late 20s, a personal board of mentors, sort of like you have a personal board, you know, of executives. And each one had something different about him or her that I needed at the time. Over time, people have rolled off. But I will tell you that I connected with these people because they were part of either an organization that I was already active in, like the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association, the Atlanta Marketing Association, or the Associated Marketing Professionals, maybe even, you know, the Technology Association of Georgia and WIT, which I was also been members of in years past. And I boldly called them up out of the blue and said, "Hi, my name is Dorothea Bosie Colonna-Volpe, and I want you to mentor me." And I've been very fortunate. No one has said no to me. But I think a lot of that, too, people were very afraid of me because they thought, wow, if she's got the balls enough to ask me to mentor her and I'm a CEO of a major corporation, then I have got to meet this person, right?
Right. It's impressive to see somebody who is going to step up to the plate and willing to take a swing at it. And
brilliant.
People respect that. And they're ready to play ball with you. Maria, have you found that women develop relationships within Avon and that helps to bolster their confidence and self-esteem to maybe take risks like that that they might not think they were capable of until they had that solid foundation and all those people that believed in them?
Yes, absolutely. And I think to the point you were making earlier, reaching across cross-functionally, that's where I personally have found a lot of support and a lot of insights that I wouldn't ordinarily have had. So I think if you stay strictly within your functional area and that's where you look for your mentors, you miss out on a lot of differing perspectives and opportunities to get to know other functions within the organization. So I do think it's important not only to open yourself up to different functions, but even to different countries. You know, if you're fortunate enough to work for a global organization, it is so interesting to find the cultural differences that exist in other countries and other cultures and understand what works, what doesn't work, and try to glean from that. And those, you know, that's where I look for mentors as well. Male, female makes no difference. It's folks who have a leadership style that you admire, who have accomplished something that's impressive that you want to learn more about. And just taking the time to carve out, and it's something that I personally have to plan for that time because it doesn't just happen naturally when you want to have that conversation about just, you know, a general conversation about the business that can help you gain insights, gain perspectives, gain differing points of view that enrich your own ideals about the company. I think it's very important.
Well, in addition to your relationships that you develop with other women and other professionals in the business community, your relationship with yourself is also important. And women tend to, again, overgeneralizing maybe, but caretakers, taking care of everybody else, but maybe forgetting to take care of number one. How important is it to you all that you remember to prioritize your own health and your own sanity as you're continuing to strive for greater levels of success? Because I know it's hard to maintain that balance.
Yes, it is. For me, a lot of times my family come in and say, you're moving in different directions. Do you ever really rest, Marilyn? And I say, yes, I do rest. And I do things that help me to come to that point where I'm focused on Marilyn. For example, each morning I get up, I meditate, and I spend time with me and knowing me and feeling, okay, are you doing the best thing possible for yourself? How are you moving through? Did you do the things that you needed to do instead of stepping in and doing things for other people first? Did you focus on Marilyn first? And I make sure that has been so important for me to have that meditation each morning and prayer each morning from a spiritual perspective, that each morning I walk out, I'm a happy person. I bring and exude that happiness and engagement and life to others when I flow through.
That's awesome. Anybody else have some comments on
that? Yeah, I was just going to add to that. One of the things that I think is very important for me, and I also encourage all of my direct reports as well, is to feed yourself with positive books, stories, parables in business or real-life business stories. It's funny because you read all of these leadership books and the themes don't change that much from one book to another. But you need that reinforcement and you need to read those good thoughts, quotes, stories, analogies. So I do that personally and I provide for my team a way to be able to do that. The other thing that I think is very important right now is to keep up with what is going on in corporate America and draw analogies to what you see other companies going through and how that relates to what your company is going through. Because one of the things that I find in our business in particular, it's a very fast-paced job. The hours are long for most of our folks who work in corporate. And so the time, you become very myopic. You're only looking at your company, your numbers, your results. But it's very important to pay attention to what's going on around you and to draw those analogies just to challenge your thinking.
Right, to broaden your perspective and remember the role that you're playing in a much larger picture, I think, can be very grounding. Marcia, did you have something you wanted to add
one,
to?
One other thought, and you know, we call this self-care, that if you're not taking care of yourself, then who else is going to do that? And I mean, I speak absolutely from the standpoint of walking a mile in many women's shoes. I was a working mom, you know, took 6 or 8 weeks off and went back to work and have two wonderful, very independent children, by the way, that are adults. So I've achieved that so that when I'm working with and mentoring women that are going through that phase of their life, you know, I really do promote really looking at the choices that you're making every day. Look at what is really a priority because, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So,
well, I love that you bring up family because we obviously careers are important, but really family is ultimately the most important thing.
Right.
How have you found that? Have you been able to use your family as something that strengthens you rather than, oh gosh, and now I also have to take care of my family?
Right. I mean, you really have to put your head on right. It's a way of how do you frame managing that time. And women don't typically or traditionally compartmentalize things. It's all so integrated. But it's about choice. It's really about making the right choices for yourself and for your family.
Now, we are almost out of time here, ladies, but I want to ask you one other question before we get to our last tip segment. Something that I hear from a lot of people when they talk about women leaders or developing women in leadership, you also hear a lot of comments that women don't tend to brag about themselves or talk about their success. All of you, I'm humbled, first of all, to be in a room with such successful women and inspired as well. And this conference is going to be like that on steroids. So when you're in the presence of other successful women, it makes you feel like, I think it's okay to talk about that I'm successful, that I've accomplished things. How have you gotten comfortable with talking about your success, and by doing so, encouraging other women to talk about their success? Dorothea?
Well, that's a tough one. I've always been taught to live my life humbly, so I probably would not be the best person to answer this question. What I will say is that when it's appropriate, I think you can bring it into the conversation. I find this with both men and women, right? There are times when certain things are appropriate and certain things are not. When I teach a course on Twitter, I actually compare it to a one-night stand. And I talk a lot about how Twitter is part of a conversation, right? And, you know, you want to entice, you want to romance, you want to engage your audiences using it as a modality. But it's very important when you wake up the next morning, right, and you're sending out that next tweet, that you have something compelling to say, or there will not be a return event. So it's very imperative when you start speaking about your success, one, that it's relevant to the conversation, right? And I think secondarily, if you can tie it back to a success, to the point that you'd made earlier, I want to make sure I say your name properly, Maria, that, you know, if you are working in a situation where it's a results-driven type of dialogue, and you can tie that area of success back to something that a result that was derived from that, a business goal, a marketing plan that was achieved, whatever the case may be, a sales goal, right? Then I think it's completely appropriate. But I have to say, I don't. I'm somebody who doesn't really feel comfortable talking about unless it's relevant. So that's my own personality. That's how I roll.
That's why I'm asking the questions. I want to find out. Martha, how about you?
Well, what I've told some of my women mentees before is it ain't bragging if it's the truth. If these are things that you've actually accomplished and it helps another woman or another man, because women managers are managing both genders, of course. So it's not bragging. So go ahead and feel good and proud of yourself for what you're doing, and tell the truth. So that's the best advice that I've been able to give. And I think that it sinks in once they see they're not just blowing smoke.
Right.
Yeah.
Maria, I mean, you're in a results-oriented environment. What are your thoughts on this?
Very much so. And I totally agree with both points of view. First of all, I think in a results-driven organization, it's fun to celebrate good results, but it doesn't always have to be prefaced by, I did this and I did that. So I must say I share your value of humility. I think it's very important. And to your point as well, I think that, you know, as a leader, we get results through people. So my preference and the counsel that I give to people with whom I work is, as long as you are sharing your results and you're uplifting the people who helped you achieve those results, I think that's the most important piece. So I don't tend to believe that you ever really have to brag about yourself or highlight yourself. If the results are there and you can highlight the people who helped you get there, and you can really celebrate those individuals, I think that's really important. Individuals to whom you report, or individuals who report to you, I tend to believe it's always more attractive and better to lift up the people around you.
Good one. Good point. Dr. Marilyn?
Well, I'm going to come from a different viewpoint here. Being in corporate America and not having a sales team necessarily client-facing team that reported to me, and more of a operational tax compliance, those type of individuals that reported to me, I found often that when you stood in front of the more senior people, that a lot of times the things that we had done had gone unnoticed. And that was because many times as women, we fail to know when to speak up about the results that we've given, or whom do we need to talk to discuss those items? And so I do feel as though it's extremely important that individuals know when to speak up, have something to say when they speak, and say something that says, here's what I can do for you with what I have done in the past.
Mm-hmm. Good. I should have started with you, huh? Well, ladies, this has been fascinating. And if you're just tuning in, we are talking with four of the lovely speakers at the upcoming Possible Woman Conference. We do a chic tip segment at the end of our show, and this is an opportunity for each of you to share one vital leadership tip that you would like to, you know, I'm sure that it's probably something that's within each of your talks. One little nugget that you can give women that are listening and thinking, wow, these women are really inspiring. I want to be more like them. What's one nugget of inspiration or action that you would pass on to our future women leaders? And I am going to start on the other side of the table this time with Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Take someone with you. Always take another person. Pull them up the hill. And as you pull them up the hill, you will go up as well.
That's a great one. Very important piece of advice. Next up, we have Maria Sutej.
I have 100 thoughts in my head right now. It's hard to think of one, so I'm going to give you two.
That's fair enough. I'll take it.
Attitude is everything, and attitude counts. And people migrate to those who make them feel good about themselves. I think that is so important. If you don't have a good attitude about your company, if you don't have a good attitude about the people with whom you work, if you don't have a good attitude about yourself, it shows. So either change what you're doing or change your attitude, but keep it positive. And the second thing that I think has gotten so lost in this world of technology is recognition of people. And I think that with email and texting and all of those wonderful things, we've lost the power of the handwritten note just to say thank you. And I find when I use that, people respond unbelievably. So I would just say bring back the old, keep all the technology because it's fabulous, but bring back the power of a handwritten note that either provides recognition or gratitude to people who've done something to help you in your business. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. It's such a classy and personal touch. Martha Fourlines.
Be the leader that others want to follow. And there's a whole lot.
Just because underneath you're the one in charge
right.
is not enough.
No, it's not. It's not. And what I'll be talking about in my session is, okay, how do you do that? How do you engage people so that they really are drawn to you and they want to follow you and they want to help you be successful?
There's a difference between position power
Correct.
And actual influence.
Right.
And
right.
I can't wait to find out more about that at the conference.
Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, Dorotea.
Well, those are really difficult to top, actually. My Nona Volpe used to have a saying that I think is really brilliant, and it has to do with humility. And she used to say, you know, we all bleed red and we all pee yellow, Dorotea. So when you walk into a room, right, realize that you're no different than anybody else. They're no different than you. And I always thought that that was really great because if you think about everybody being on the same playing field and you're talking to them on the same level, you know, they're never going to feel like you're being pedantic or condescending. And then I do want to tag on something that Maria said, because again, Nona Volpe had lots of good advice. Another great thing that she said that I thought was brilliant, and I think it's why people get attracted to leaders, right? And Maria, I think, encapsulated this when she was talking about positivity and attitude. She said something when I was a little kid that I always thought was kind of interesting about the women in our community. And she'd say, Dorotea, when you walk into a room, look at the woman who's smiling, the woman who's happiest. She's always the prettiest. And everyone wants to spend time in her energy force, in her company. And just to kind of tag on to what Maria had said, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, think about this. When you're greeted on the street and somebody smiles at you and says, good morning, you're going to want to say good morning back. If you're in a group of people and there's this person speaking that smiles at you, you smile back. It's like monkey see, monkey do, but it always works.
Fabulous advice. Last, before we go, I want to make sure that our listeners have contact information for all of you, because you're all running fantastic businesses, and I know people are going to want to reach out and get more information. So, Dorothea, let's start with you. If someone was interested in hiring you, your company, for social media branding, one of these international Fortune 500 companies, how can they get a hold of you or find out more?
They send an SMS or a text to the following short code, 44264. And when you compose the message, just type in my first name, Dorothea, Dorothea, hit send. In about 90 seconds, they get back all of my information with the exclusion of my blood type.
Fantastic. But it is red. We do know, just like everybody else. Martha Forlines, how about you? If somebody wanted to find more information about Belief Systems Institute or the book, where can they go?
Well, compared to Dorothea, this is lower tech. But I do have a couple of websites that you can go to
and get
a message to me. One is the www.beliefsysteminstitute.com. And the other one is inspiringwomenbook.com.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Check that out. And how about you, Maria? Avon?
Great. Yes, it's very easy. So to learn more about Avon, it's avon.com, which is very easy. But to contact me personally, it's Maria, M-A-R-I-A dot Sutej, S-U-T-E-J, at avon.com.
Fantastic. And Dr. Marilyn Carroll?
I'm very easy, drmarilyncarroll.com.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, thanks, everyone, for a wonderful panel on women's leadership and a sort of a sneak preview to the very exciting Possible Woman 2012 Imagine Conference taking place April 26th at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis. You can find more information on that at possiblewoman.com. You're listening to Atlanta Business Radio X. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and if you're interested in finding out more about other Business Radio X shows, please go to businessradiox.com. We will talk to you next week.